Are you a true motorsports enthusiast seeking premium safety equipment? Do you need expert advice to make the right choice? Look no further. Go to OGRacing.com. The ultimate destination for high-quality motorsports gear. OG stocks... It's not OG. OG stocks products from the largest manufacturers, including Sparco, OMP, Alpine Stars, and much more. OG Racing is offering... It's OG is offering an exclusive 15% to our listeners. Use code SLIPANGLE15 at OGRacing.com during checkout. It's OG, Emma. I think you'll get free standard shipping on orders over $100. Don't miss out. Visit OGRacing.com and use SLIPANGLE15 at checkout. That's OG Racing and OGRacing.com and SLIPANGLE15 at checkout.
Hey, everybody.
Dakota in the RV.
Yo.
It made it this time.
Smoothly.
Dude, I picked up Adam Nielsen. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
To run the dyno. I picked him up in Des Moines.
At my place of employment.
Yeah, dude. And then, yeah.
It's a French city, right?
Des Moines.
Yes.
And then we proceeded. Absolutely. I had a beautiful drive out to Des Moines. Des Moines. And we proceeded to drive through rain for 13 hours to get to Dakota.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
From maybe 10 minutes outside of Des Moines and to here, it rained
with
nonstop.
1991 wipers also, which is, I mean, the blades are new, but the technology of the wiping, it's not so great on this bus.
I'm surprised you don't have to flip a toggle switch every time you wanted to do something.
So well, for the first 2 years, I didn't know that there was a delay switch. There is a delay. I was pushing the toggle every time. So you reach through the steering wheel to click a button every time you want the wiper.
I know I've told this story, I think, several times on the show, but it's traumatic, and we have to go through it every time we go to Coda.
Yep. Oh,
there was 1 year where there was frost on the throttle pedal of your bus.
It was so cold.
It was so cold.
So I was warm. I actually took my sweatshirt off for most of the ride.
When I left Chicago, it was 37, and this bus takes 1 hour to heat up, literally at speed. Like
that's because... Because
the engine's
there's
38 feet
40
from
gallons of coolant
actually,
that it has to
there's
warm
actually
up.
Actually, 45-ish gallons of coolant.
45 gallons?
Just two and a half inch pipes that are like 30.
2.5 inch?
Yeah.
The heater core's up here.
Yeah.
The radiator's and the engine's up there. On the other end of the bus.
This is the only diesel pusher with a front engine radiator I've ever seen. So it's got so much coolant. So I change like 5 gallons of coolant a year.
What
top
the mistake that we made on that trip, we ran the generator basically the whole time. There were many mistakes. One of the mistakes that would have solved our problem is we should have just ran a space heater. Inside.
We should have bought a space heater. Yeah. And it was particularly cold in the front and the driver's side because it's the least protected. Like there's barely any insulation up there because the front of the actual fiberglass of the bus is like 6 inches in front of your feet.
It's really, really assuring, actually.
Yeah.
You are the crash structure. It's very Formula One of the 80s.
So I left. It was 37 degrees, and I like to drive with no shoes on this thing. I don't know why. It's just a habit. And I was warming my feet one at a time on those little vents to the left and the right of the gauge cluster.
Nice.
It's just kind of lounging. It was pretty nice.
I did giggle a little bit when he opened the door and was standing there in his bare feet. I was like, are you fine?
Well, I was wearing socks, but yeah.
That's too much.
So you've had this bus now for a while,
it's
and
the
it
fifth
has
year,
it has been substantially improved. You've got a little cabinet for sorting
shoes, hats,
family goods, hats and shoes, and whatever else. And there's new speakers and a whole lot of new power.
TV.
And you've got that track, I guess, for where like wires and stuff are behind. It's very clean.
There's lights behind here too. So it uplights the ceiling at night.
It's very basic white girl.
It is.
The decor.
It's a simple. Yeah, it is. It's Pinterest. Pinterest 39-year-old white lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but the bed was the biggest change.
Yeah, that's a pro move. Did anyone weight check that?
I mean, I've been up there. I've bounced on it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's got vertical rods that go down, so it's fine. It's all welded together.
Okay. How thick is the plywood?
Three-quarter inch
oak. Oh, yeah, that's...
Cone has slept up there while we're driving. And under hard braking, you literally could roll into the front on top of the dashboard because it's hanging.
You should probably put a wall there.
Nah.
then you can't close the curtain.
You can still pull the curtain. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean.
You could put a little fence.
Yeah, like a fence.
You could put a cone fence. Emma hasn't been up there while we're driving, but she sleeps up there. It works really good. So, yeah, put an Emma and cone fence to where we can sleep while you drive. But yeah, it's been sweet. That was a big change. rather than having to pull the bed out every time.
Oh, for sure.
Like when we're camping, this is still a couch and she can go to bed and we can like watch TV together.
Right.
Because this articulates the TV above the door. And we have the 5G home internet, and we just take it and plug it in here.
You're not supposed to advertise that you do that.
It's fine. It worked all the way to Tennessee and back.
So, anyway, just for once, there is a person on the show that has a cough, and it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel so good about that.
Adam Nielsen was very sick last week.
I've been really struggling not to die for most of the last week.
Yeah, and now he's finally, he ate food for the first time in 5 days.
It's a huge step.
Yeah, we stopped at Bucky's to sleep on the way here for 4 hours, and at like 6:30 in the morning, I woke up, and I walked inside to get some brisket, right? And he got a delicious breakfast, and he couldn't even eat it. It was a shame.
I took one bite of it and like started chewing it, and for some reason, my body was just like, "You're not gonna fucking swallow that, dude. It's just not gonna happen."
Yeah, he had the food for a couple
days.
And I'm
struggling to swallow this.
Yeah.
Javet like could tell like that I was having problems trying to eat this thing.
Like,
I took
while
one
I'm driving,
bite of
I'm
it.
Like, geez, he is messed up.
So last night, Renee and I, GridLife team members kind of like divided because each area had their own conversations to have. And so the like leadership team went and had dinner. Renee and I went and had dinner separately because we were...
Where'd you go?
We did go to Black's.
Oh, you did?
I spent
Franklin's coming in half an hour. So.
Yeah, right. I spent $40 on a plate of barbecue, and I was like, well, that's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
It was good.
I mean, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing on my plate was not the barbecue. I had mashed potatoes with white gravy, and they were awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Black's is pretty good. Which one did you go to? The original one?
The original one, yeah.
Worth the drive.
Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, it's so good.
But we were strategizing how to replace you in a way that would allow someone else to do your core jobs if there were situations.
They're trying to fire me.
We knew it's about time, huh?
About damn
congratulations.
Time. I mean, you've effed up so many times. We've just got to let you go. There are situations where you should have a weekend with your family that you're not at an event. And we need to be able to replicate the things that you do with the right person and the right tone and the right vibe. And it is not me and it's not certain other members of the team. So we were...
You ain't got the right vibe, dude?
No.
No?
You're too nice sometimes. You're a level of nice that I could not always maintain to certain people.
Well,
wait, are you talking about Adam or me?
Definitely not you, man. Definitely Adam. And I think that's the vibe he's talking about.
Well,
that's going to be hard to find.
It's, I don't think I'm that nice. It's just you have to treat everybody a certain way. I don't know. Some people can't do that.
Most people probably.
So more than likely, the person is listening to this show.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about you.
He's also worked with us a bunch as our lead instructor. So.
Well, I didn't want to give it away.
Well, he knows who he is.
Because we haven't talked to him yet.
I'm gonna talk with him. We'll see how many events he wants to do. His kid's getting a little older now. So
yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. We're at Superlap, and GLTC Qual just went.
Yep. Pretty clean session.
Pretty clean. And
Ernie broke a drive shaft or something, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Parked on the driver's left right after the starter stand.
That car.
What was that? Something just shook really loud.
That was a door closing, I hope.
Okay. Might have been the generator door. It was open.
Ernie's car's kind of wild.
Is it? Like bad?
That S2 that he's driving? It's got a sequential in it.
Does it really?
And it's paddle shift. It's got air paddle shifts in it.
I hadn't even looked at that. Well, maybe he broke something else.
He said it lost drive. Yeah. So that might have actually been the drive.
It's a silly little car.
That's a wild car.
Tony Marchev's car is over 3,000 pounds. That's a heavy S2000.
I think he said he turned it up to 230 or something.
Damn, son.
230 is pretty easy in a stock.
Why is it so heavy?
Because he wanted to make
it. Because you have to be. With aero and 230 horsepower, you got to be 3,000 pounds in that range. But yeah, it's kind of nice to do these support series events. Last year we did two. We did this and we did Road America with NASCAR. Because we just get to like do something for a little while and then we get to hang for an hour or two.
The same was true for the Time Attack event we did with Jayzilla last year, where it was just the TA sessions and the rest of it was like DE run by another team.
We still are probably going to do something with Jayzilla. It's not announced yet, but all of his dates are like on the same weekends as ours. That's the problem.
Well,
he had one on Rev Up, he had one on Autobahn, he had one on Midwest.
It would be advantageous to have two teams.
I know. It's just hard to like make a new team and get more transponders. We now have four cases of transponders, but like if he does an event,
we have four full.
Bought a new one.
You bought another one.
Bought another one.
Dang. Was it from GP or a new set?
Bought a brand new case. It was almost the same price. Almost the same price.
Dang.
But like Midwest, we need four cases. And if he's running an event the same weekend at Barber, I don't have transponders.
Yeah.
Same thing with Audubon. We're going to need four cases, most likely at Audubon.
Why?
Because Audubon sells out Time Attack, and we're going to have GLTC there, and that's a lot of, transponders.
Sick. So. It made me so sad last year that we reduced our contribution at Audubon, or like we reduced the size of the event in terms of like what was there, what we did, how
Audubon's
we did
a great place for GLTC. I think it's going to be a good club round.
It's such a good place to race.
They also have like a built-in streaming setup, like fixed cams and pan tilt zoom cams and stuff. Like, so we could almost do a basic stream. Not determined that we will, but like. It's a built-in stream, and Kyle has actually announced for their member series before, so Kyle knows that place as far as the stream stuff. So I don't know. Audubon South is one of the greatest wheel-to-wheel tracks that we go to. I think
100%. So, it was a disappointment that we were not GLTC racing there last year.
It did make the event a lot easier to run last year.
That's not the objective.
Yeah.
The objective is to do the coolest events we can.
Yeah, and Audubon this year is a 3-day event.
Ooh.
So. We kind of need it. It's going to be a lot of stuff, you know. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It might just be test day Friday, but I think it's going to be some competition on Friday afternoon.
The drift, too?
Small, like a little bit of drift. So
I hope Pete's there.
He probably will.
Pete drifting like 1, 2, and 3. Very cool.
Yeah. That's a cool little track to drift to. I just noticed that my bezel around my backup camera is breaking.
Yeah, it's like nothing is holding that in at this point except gravity.
The backup camera's actually got a mount underneath that it's held to, but that dash moves around a lot when you hit bumps.
And we found more than our fair share of bumps on the
Oklahoma
way here.
Oklahoma had a couple of bad spots.
Oh, my gosh.
I think you got airborne.
It's very hard to sleep. It was really inconsiderate of them.
Yeah. You have air suspension in the bus. Are you sure that ride heights and stuff are all set?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's still supporting a heavy bus. So when you hit a big bump, like it still moves.
There's
so.
The amount of bumps that were on that road. There's nothing that's going to prevent that.
So
it
I think
awful.
I think I told you this, Adam, when I had my bus and we drove to Heartland, it was the first big trip for the bus. And I didn't understand some of the mechanics, and I didn't understand, especially the air suspension.
Yeah.
And there is a $100 little, toilet flapper valve sort of thing.
They're literally like a level sensor.
It's a level sensor that operates exactly like a toilet flapper level.
Yeah,
and just a mechanical thing.
Those things do go bad. They have like a diaphragm. I mean, if they go bad, you don't have any ride height. And if you don't know that you don't have any ride height or know that you should check, you're just driving on the bump stops. And we drove to Heartland.
Literally on the bump stops.
On the bump stops.
This thing
Didn't you tow to Heartland?
We towed Aaron's trailer with the Porsche inside. And
this thing comes up about 4 inches when the air comes up.
So there were a few instances where you hit like an expansion joint or something where the front of the brush was just like crash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This has got two air systems, and first it airs up the air brakes. It's got two gauges on the left of the steering wheel. First it airs up the air brakes, so you can roll. I drive through the parking lot while it's coming up on the air suspension, because that's a much bigger volume.
Yep.
And even just driving through the parking lot, like any parking lot, a nice one, you hit an expansion crack, and it's goosh, like it's harsh. Dude.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I don't like to drive without the air suspension.
You should
you
not.
Can, but no, I know that that's working. It's just, I mean, it's still semi-truck stuff, so
sure. Yeah,
it doesn't ride like a Prevo or probably even like your bus, but it doesn't ride too bad.
So. As soon as we got that fixed, it was awesome.
Yeah, and you had the bigger 22.5 tires too.
Yeah,
so you had like 2 or 3 more inch a tire.
Yeah,
so that helps things too. These are a little shorter 22.5s.
Man, I really miss that bus. I wish I still had it.
They are a lot to take care of, though.
But it is a lot, and I mean, when I heard how much Jim spent at Newmar trying to get his reconditioned. I mean, it's like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you can just drop $10,000 at a clip if you're paying people to fix it.
Yeah.
I did buy a new backup camera setup with a side view. I didn't have time to put it on, but I used it the other day. Did I tell you this?
Mm-mm.
So I bought this, like, it's a wired system. And I was trying to change the governor springs in this thing last Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And so the governor springs on a mechanical injected Cummins. there's like a window where you like take a 7/8 bolt that holds a flange out. You take that out and you just rotate the engine and you can bar it over by hand, like literally like 1 degree at a time. The engine will move like 1 degree per like chunk, 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 like the range, the motion of the half inch ratchet. Jeez. You got to freaking pull on it.
I would imagine that, especially when you start to get into a compression stroke, that's got to be awful.
An 8.3 liter has some compression.
like diesels run on it or something.
Like 18 to 1.
Oh, my God.
And a piston the size of, like, you know,
a coffee can.
Coffee can.
Yeah.
So I bought a bar over tool, which is like a socket that's got a gear on it that, like, turns the flywheel or the flex plate, you know, turns the trans and turns the motor. And that's in the same basic spot, but you got to pull like crazy. And there's no room to put a big breaker bar on it because there's a frame, there's all the things in there. And this is while I'm working with the bed jacked up, and I'm effectively kneeling on the ground and working 20 inches below myself, which is hard. That sucks. And I'm leaning over like a ledge, which is the bed, which is 16 inches off the ground or whatever. So this took 5 hours. I've got bruises on my ribs from that.
Jesus.
I still have. You see this bruise right here?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's the size of a baseball.
Yeah, it, like my entire forearm is bruised up and cut up and everything.
His arm looks dirty on the top.
It literally looks
not
greasy.
What it is.
That's just a giant bruise. So I'm trying to, basically, they look like little valve springs, the governor springs. This is all mechanical injection. You take that window out, and you got to get the pump to turn to the right location, and then you take this little keeper out, and you carefully, with a magnet, pull the springs out, and you put new ones in. What I'm trying to solve is going down the road. It's got a false rev limiter, kind of, and the engine will just go past it. And that's, like, right at 60, 65 miles an hour. The bus will start to pulse like it's got a tire out of balance.
Sure.
That kind of same feel. And you just throttle in or you back out and it goes away. There's like sweet spots where it's good. I'm trying to solve this. It's a known issue on this pump with this engine. This is kind of a combine engine out of a farm implement, you know,
sure.
Big combine. It's a known problem on those too. It doesn't hurt anything. It makes it annoying though. And some of it also might be the crazy complicated linkage. Like it's a 40-foot cable, and it pulls on a thing, it pulls on a thing, it pulls on a thing, like six Heim joints in there to move the throttle lever. Like throttle lever's like the length of my finger aiming down, and it moves like this much, like 25 degrees.
Okay.
And that's the throttle. So it's got all these linkages that change the length it pulls, right? And this thing's made out of plastic, the throttle thing. And there's slop in the entire system. So some of it might be the slop moving just a tiny bit. So it doesn't do it at wide open throttle. It doesn't do it at part throttle. It just does it in low throttle. It does it in this one spot. So it might be slop in that too. But people say you change the governor springs to higher RPM governor springs. So I do that. 3 hours in, the first one. Get it back together. Doesn't start. Starts if I give it throttle. Runs fine. Won't idle at all. Won't start unless I'm 20% throttle at all. Do some Googling. Turns out you watch the videos tell you how many clicks on the keepers to turn it, and it's very like sensitive on how many clicks. Like it's a, you know, the spring holds it up and it's got these like grooved click things, you know, so it's just turn it with, I made a tool out of it. It's like a prong tool about half inch wide. So I did the entire process over again, backed it off a click. It's better, completely undrivable. Come to a stoplight, it would die. I have to always have my foot on the throttle, whatever. Got frustrated and ended up taking the backup camera, aiming it at the thing, watching it up here, put a battery on the floor. I'm watching the backup camera and just clicking the starter to try to turn the motor over just a little bit to get close.
Oh, sure.
Because the barring over of the engine
is the
was
work.
Such hell. And 5.5 hours in, I finally put the OEM springs back in, turned to one click. It's better going down the road, and now sometimes it stalls at idle, but not very much. The idle's a little too low, but it sucked. So owning a bus blows.
Owning but a 30...
31-year, 32-year-old well, bus.
But working on your own bus
yeah,
blows.
Yeah. If I had a mechanic, it would have been much better. But that's been my woes so far.
If you're able to afford to buy one of these new, you're
see,
able to afford to work
one,
on...
The new ones, like... There's so many things to go wrong. I
correct,
like
but then you can afford if you can afford to buy it,
but
you can afford to pay somebody else
then
to fix it.
Toes on the side of the road when you're deaf system dies, yeah, or when your computer controlled everything dies. I really like how simple and mechanical it is. It's literally like a farm implement.
Yeah.
Simple. You know, it's so simple. But
it does surprise me that there does not seem to be an RV maker in the industry that attempts to make a like a utilitarian buy it for life type of
Which is kind of what this is,
right? Like,
there's no money in making something that people only buy once in their lifetime.
This thing has self-resetting breakers. Even it doesn't even have fuses.
Really?
It literally, like, if it it's got self-resetting breakers. I've never seen anything like it. The biggest electrical problem I've had was the power converter, basically, that converts from either generator or shore power.
Yep.
If it sees shore power, it'll use that. Or if it sees generator power and no shore power, it'll use generator power. Those things are known junk on every RV. They die every few years. So I just put a giant marine make-brake switch, like chunk, 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 like a three-position switch. It's underneath the closet in the back there where the thing was. And that's dead simple, lifetime thing. Like,
yep.
I'm converting this into the thing that doesn't exist, you know, the simple, basic, tank-like thing. But I kind of want to put like a Detroit 60 or like a 14-liter Cummins in it so I can go 100 miles an hour.
He's talking about putting just the weirdest stuff in this thing.
I want to put a giant engine so I can tow a stacker and go as fast as I want. But
you don't have a stacker.
That's not the point.
I'm just talking about ability. I'm not talking about going to do it. But
well, how fast have you gone in this before?
82.
It's plenty fast.
Yeah, it's way too fast, actually. Like, the Governor Springs, now that they're a little tighter, it doesn't flutter as much, but it also reduced my top speed.
Okay.
My top speed is about 72 right now. So I can back them off a turn, and it would go 80, 81, 82. But it actually got really good mileage, too. If you go 75, this thing gets like 5.5. If you go 65, it gets like 11.
Dang.
And that's with the generator running.
So yeah.
It got really good mileage. I spent like way less.
I suppose the generator runs on the same tank, doesn't it?
Yeah, the generator picks up from – so it's got a 100-gallon tank, and the generator picks up from about 25% up. So the generator can't run you out of gas. Okay. That's pretty common in most RVs, too.
Okay.
Mine was the same way. Yeah. And on the way to Heartland that first year, we didn't run it low on fuel, but we ran it low enough that the generator died. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, there's like on a newer generator, there did not seem to be a mechanical prime option.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just have to like
crank it 20 minutes.
It was like 10 minutes at least to get it to actually fire back
up. A lot of times, those have like old mechanical pumps still, generators. A lot of times, the only way to sometimes prime them is to crack the fuel injector lines.
Yep.
And just until the fuel spills on the engine, then you tighten them up and then it might run.
Yeah.
You got to literally purge the system. It can be a pain in the butt.
We should talk about cars for a minute. So Luke qualified P1.
Yep.
Pretty quick, actually.
Houghton was what, P2?
Houghton was P2.
A few tenths back.
He's down on power. He said that Predictive a couple of times had a 27 in the car, but he made some errors and there was traffic, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a good race between those two. And I think also that he is trying to get some VTC solenoids from Austin.
Yeah, he said the VTC was giving him grief or it wasn't quite following the trace that it should or something. So.
But the car is down on power. They were expecting to make like 250, and on the dyno it made
240 something, right?
No, it made 230.
Yeah, that's
no, it didn't. We did make 240. It was a whole deal.
Yeah.
So we figured out that car.
So sensitive.
That car, the diff in that car. If it's not just right on the dyno, if for some reason it will dyno really low.
Yeah. Any kind of like kick on the front axle and like it'll suck 20 horsepower out of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we ended up.
Found the same thing in Mid-Ohio last year.
We ended up getting a jack and straightening it, pushing the back over and straightening it out, and it instantly picked up 15 wheel.
That's so crazy.
I think maybe the easiest thing to do to make sure it's square on the dyno is probably just from one side of the trailer, measure the distance to the tire.
The problem is
in the front and in the back.
You have to do it on both axles, yeah.
Right.
Because that car is like shaped like a triangle. It's so much wider up front. You'd have to do both axles.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Or make sure that they were equally. If it was 2 inches off in the front, it could be 2 inches off in the back.
Right.
It would have. That's probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Be the way to do it. That car is like impossible to sight with the. We got a blue line on the trailer. you like can't even use it because it's like a wedge shaped car.
Sure.
With the front end on that thing, and the back end is tucked in a little bit and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, so far, weather's great here. Cars look good.
It's really good racing weather.
Yeah.
It's a little cool, fast, but
2 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. We've had
50. Was there a 59 or a 2?
Didn't see a 59.
I saw a 201 from that AMG, Cole, the carbon one.
Cole knocked two tenths off of. Yep, in the GTR, knocked 2 tenths off of Ferris's. I assume Ferris's record from last year.
Yeah. Which is what now 203.
It's a 202. It's a 202 something.
Okay. Yeah.
I heard Ferris was coming out with his new car. His other car.
It looks really cool. I've seen it on Instagram. It looks really.
I don't
really
think that's. That car is ready to go yet.
Oh.
In that one chat that we're in with him, he said it was almost ready to start, and that was on Wednesday.
So I think that the rendering that came out on Instagram yesterday or the day before is the future of his program.
I think it's the future of the current A car, not the B car.
Yes, and that the B car is the car that's coming here, and it's the old car's body panel.
But does he have four cars or three? Right?
He's got three right now. And one of them's a drift car.
Okay. Got it.
I think.
I don't know.
Unless he has a fourth car that
Can
nobody
imagine
knows
having
about.
That many race cars. That would suck.
I don't even like having one race car that I haven't driven
there
in.
There was one time where
six
I had
years.
Three fully caged Hondas that were from the generation of 1986 to 1990, and that was terrible.
What else is going on here? It's like, so it's Saturday, like midday, and there's a decent number of spectator people here already.
They usually gets pretty busy in a couple hours.
It was hellish windy overnight.
Yeah.
He took the roof off the dyno tent.
Yeah.
While they were dynoing.
It looks so cool when it's got the roof on it, and now it looks like trash.
Yeah. I know. I get it, but...
No, we can't have that thing lifting up, you know?
No. And there was no amount of tying down with the stuff that I had that was going to keep
it in place.
There
was multiple times last night. Unless we, like, put a trailer in front of it, it was... Right. It was bad. There was multiple times last night, Adam and I were sleeping in here, where I woke up because the bus was rocking so much. It was windy.
It's not like you're not in a sheltered place
anyway.
No, there's
Savannah and Nick's trailers
right next to us.
There
are trailers, like, right next to you.
Tony's trailer's right next to us. Like, the wind should be going over us, and it was still, like, and I heard, like, the roof fence, like, and they're, like, cranked tight. I checked them. It was 20-25 miles an hour last night.
I definitely didn't hear or feel any of that. I was dead.
You were
last
in bed
night.
When I got back,
dude. I vaguely, my wife does this to me all the time. I vaguely remember you coming home.
Yeah,
and we may have had a conversation.
We didn't talk very much.
But whatever we said, you cannot hold against me.
I asked you if the shower worked well, and you were like, "It was amazing."
It was amazing. That I can agree with.
We both needed a shower pretty good last night.
Oh, my gosh. I've never needed a shower like I needed a shower yesterday.
Did you work on Thursday in the morning?
Yeah, I was at work all day.
Oh, you were there all day. I didn't know if we just met there because it's right off the highway.
No.
Your work
is
literally like a quarter mile out of the direction if you go to Des Moines and go straight down 35.
I know. It works really well.
It's like right there.
I've had a lot of people pick me up on their way through Des Moines.
When we picked you up going to Alpine that 2019, like we barely stopped the bus. We picked
I don't think we did stop the bus. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the bus never dropped below 5 miles an hour.
Threw all your shit in and off we went. Yeah.
The door flung open and Cone was there and I threw my suitcase up to him and jumped in and off we went. We were in traffic the whole time.
If I recall, you spent a large portion of that drive on the floor of the bus. Was that you? Or was that Mike sleeping on the floor?
No, I slept right here.
Yeah.
On the floor.
On the cracked tile
on the
that
floor.
This used to have.
Yep.
And when you'd hit a bump, that tile would like jump an inch off the ground. It was all loose and crappy. This bus was terrible when I bought it. This is the reason it was $8,000.
It's gotten so much life out of $8,000.
I mean, if I threw it away right now, like just left it here and walked home. Every event that I took it to is probably under $100. Like, even with what I have into it, I got several thousand more into it. But, it's been a great
machine. It doesn't really owe you anything.
No, it's... And obviously, I like it enough, I'd keep it. Wouldn't want to tow it somewhere too much, but...
I think it could use a wash. There's an awful lot of oil slick on the back
panel. Most of that, though, actually is stains from the NOLA trip in 2020. I said this is a combine engine, so it's got multiple fill points... for the oil, because like different combines have different panels, so this thing's got like on the passenger side,
on this side.
I said the passenger side.
Pointing is super useful.
I said passenger after I pointed.
He caught himself.
It's got like a fill point, and then it's got like a screw in freeze plug in it, and that got loose and was just rattling around, and it was pushing oil out. And I'm like, where's this oil coming from? It's just pouring out everywhere. Jesus. We probably lost 3 quarts of the 26 quarts. It was all over the trailer, all over the back of the bus. And Cone and I we bought a bunch of brake clean and engine cleaner, and we're digging around, and I found it. It started coming loose on the way to Heartland again last year. That's what you're seeing. But it stained the back of it. I got to finish the vinyl back there because I can't clean the fiberglass. It just got so dirty.
Yeah,
so,
right.
It does need a wash right now, though. It's pretty dirty. Speaking of Heartland, we ran through some crap on the way here.
Have either of you guys heard anything about the status of Heartland?
They auctioned off all of the things.
Literally all of the things.
It was like a Steph's Brothers auction or something that.
Yep.
Like, you know, big liquidation auction. They were auctioning off pictures off the wall. They were auctioning off the radios, the flag kits, the fire extinguishers.
Cases of Dixie cups. Yeah. Just like everything.
Chairs, tables.
Really?
They were auctioning the contents of the freezer in the back.
They sold a bunch of the grandstands.
Yeah. They parted that place out.
All the flagging and stuff like that, all sold.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
So it's done.
Well, the track is still going to be there, and the buildings are still there, but it's going to need... They probably sold $1 million in stuff, too.
Allegedly
like
that won't touch
pages
what they
of
owe.
Auctions.
Really?
And
where did you see that posted?
Somewhere.
Heartland shared it on their Facebook
chat.
Page.
Yeah,
and then I shared it from there because I thought there was some stuff on there that you guys could actually...
I was literally at Disney when it was happening with the girls, and there was things I wanted to buy, and I just forgot to buy them because I was like riding the Dixie cups.
Because it's like an hour and a half from my parents' house. So if you'd have bought a couple of things, I could have swung by there and picked them up, and then... You know, we could have figured out how to get them after
that. To avoid
that,
traffic around Topeka and Kansas, it sent us down that way. And we were within a mile of it, but
yeah,
we didn't stop by.
Dang.
That place is, I really liked that place.
If there's always conversation that GridLife should buy a racetrack. That place, despite like being kind of out away from things, as a venue, that place was close to perfect.
It was a cool venue. If it wasn't in Topeka... That would have been
pretty
perfect.
Very few places on this earth that I have more memories from than that place.
Yeah, you went there drag racing as a kid forever, right?
I mean, I was probably 6 first time I ever
went there. Been going
there
your whole life.
Yeah, I've driven on both tracks.
Yeah.
So it's currently the only road course I've ever driven a car on.
Really?
Yes.
At a SEC time trial or something, right?
Yep. I did the time trial national
tour.
What
car did you use?
Josh Fettis' old...
His Neon?
Neon.
His Enduro car?
I have the second fastest unlimited time in time trial national tour there. What's up?
In a champ car Neon?
Yeah. That's funny. Stock horsepower Neon.
So. Yeah, I'm really glad that I actually drove it last year in Time Attack. It was so fun. Like, that place is really good. It's a really good track. Going over Alpha, dropping down.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, man. If cars floating over that... It's a cool place.
So I've ridden in a decent number of cars. I did not drive there.
Yeah. But you've been around it.
The comparison between Andy Hollis's 720 and Jackie's Supra.
Yeah.
Both alarmingly quick.
Yeah.
Very different experience on the inside.
What was faster? Probably similar, actually.
Probably Jackie's car, but only by a little.
Right.
And
because of aero and stuff.
Yeah. Andy's car felt like it was very swift. Everything was kind of smooth, and like the drive itself wasn't very violent.
McLaren's ride really nice.
And Jackie's car was violent.
Yeah.
Very fast, but violent.
Yeah.
Probably
accelerated pretty similar, too.
Yeah.
Jackie's car was probably in the 600 range then.
Yep.
Yeah, probably pretty similar.
So.
Yeah, what a great facility that place was, too. Like, it was great.
Scales in the floor. Big deal.
Yeah. 35-foot long scales in the floor.
For top fuel dragsters.
Yeah. Super nice for tech. The building is huge. Everything's beautiful. Like, it was such a nice place. The people were great to work with. Like, we really loved Devon and his son, Travis. They were, like, the managers. But they were, he called me. He probably says this to all the girls. But he called me and said, just wanted to thank you for coming out the last few years. You are our favorite group. And then... But he probably said it to SCCA. He probably said it to NASA.
Well, you guys probably brought a more interesting
when we did the
group
championships
of cars.
There, that was a big event too. 3-day live stream. They thought that was really cool. So
that event was cool.
Yeah, that was a fun event. Good, really good Time Attack track too. A lot of mixed elements.
They used to race NASCAR there.
Really?
On the road course? On the road course.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a NASCAR configuration for the road course.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't pay attention to that.
It cuts out some sections.
Okay.
But there's a NASCAR config, and like if you YouTube it, I think there's videos of it.
Yeah.
That'd have been a neat venue for that.
It's such
and
a
there's
big
a dirt
place.
Oval track there.
Yeah.
And when we were there for a time trial national tour, they had this giant country music festival.
Country Jamboree or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess there's like 20,000 people in this thing. We barely knew they were there.
That was an event that they produced too, I think. They also produced the Top Fuel event, like the track did.
The track, that's how NHRA stuff works.
Yep. Yeah, you pay them $1 million and they bring the show.
Yeah,
and then you
they just show tickets. Up and it's your responsibility to
you
make it work.
The that's
the model you guys need to get into.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Instead of this paying the track shit, they should be paying you to come.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. We'll see. The whole facility, if you look the other direction across track from the paddock, we went over there to grab some plywood the day before the event. And it's a huge place. We went and got the plywood because we had to build a second shelf in the semi trailer to carry stuff out to California. We built an upper deck. Because we have load bars that extend across, we just had to put plywood down. The place is huge over there.
Well, it's probably almost a mile from the main road to where the paddock is on the back side of the track.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think they own basically everything all the way up to the main road.
I think they have a whole nother, the whole track area, that's only half of what they have.
That's maybe half.
Even inside the track where people parked and camped down by Pit in to
where you were parked
the backside that first year.
You were that's an eighth or a quarter mile.
No, it's definitely a quarter mile or more. It's a long walk.
So when I was there last summer for the last Top Fuel event, because we went, my dad took my son and I.
Yeah.
They had so many competitors there that the entire that drift paddock or that drift skid pad area,
which
that was parking.
It's like two city blocks.
That was all. And it was completely full of race rigs.
It's wild.
For drag cars.
That was paddock?
That was paddock.
Wow.
They held all across nationals there.
Yeah.
That's where
Solo Nats was there. That was
there.
The, I think, second. Because Salina, Kansas was the original one, I think. And then they moved to Topeka for a little while before they moved
it. Was in Topeka for 10 years.
Yeah. Before
now
they're at that skid pad is trash.
The asphalt was degrading.
Yeah, it's really hard on tires.
We did drift there a couple times, and people are like, man, this place is torn up. Like, it undulates. It's got big cracks and stuff.
The second owner of Heartland Park was the builder of Blackhawk Farms.
Oh, yeah. I did hear that.
Raymond Irwin.
Yeah. Yeah, that place has had seven owners in 9 years or something crazy.
I miss Blackhawk Farms.
So we might do a co-produced event there. I got to talk to Chris and Trisha about their opinions. Trisha wants to do it. Chris is thinking about other things. But our buddies, Ryan Revmatch, they have an October 5, 6 day, 4, 5 day that they would love to call Track Day Picnic. And we co-produce it. So
interesting.
Gail, the new person at Blackhawk, is bad at responding to email.
Oh, okay.
So she literally emailed me 2 weeks ago. I'm like, here's the dates that we have left. I emailed her in November.
Got it. Yeah.
But we'll get back there. I want to get back there a lot. We were just talking about that on the way here.
Track Day Picnic's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The October's a little late, but it might be perfect weather.
You never know.
Might be a little cold at night. I think our first one was October, though.
Yeah. No, it definitely was. I remember.
Yep. First and second, I think. We had a one day. We did Sunday one day, then we did it Saturday, Sunday.
I think that was kind of the first event now years ago in 16 when I started to step toward working grid life because the season was over and I came to that event just to hang out.
That's right. It was after Atlanta.
Yeah. It's a long drive. It was 7 or 8 hours for me to get to
Were
that
you in
event.
Michigan then?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Man. I think it's brisket time.
I think it might be brisket time.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. Well, this sounds like a show.
You know what? It sounds really good right here. Good. I've got the headphones on. So I think I'm going to leave this set up. We should probably just record some more shows here.
Adam, where do people listen to your ramblings?
The same place they find yours.
Yeah, trackteam.com, 1010s podcast.
There you go.
TrackTune.com.
We are
probably
on
keep putting our things out there. We barely ever make posts.
So we should say some things. One, go to TrackTune.com and buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And they're really, really nice shirts. Like,
is that how I buy a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're excellent and they're cheaper than they should be. They're expensive shirts to make.
Yeah.
We're not making a whole lot of money
on them. Abe raves about these shirts.
But they are awesome shirts.
Abe spent all of our money on shirts.
No, it's t-shirts, man.
Are they long?
Oh, yeah. Sized? Yeah, they're great. They're
really
the
nice fabric.
They're the tri-blend fabric.
I don't
they're
have
excellent.
One. I need to steal one.
I'll make sure Adam has some. But go there, and we have a forum.
Yeah.
You should go to the forum and do some forum things.
People are still using it. We gotta remember to plug it and then go there. Yep. Over the winter, I decided I hated cars for a little while, and I stopped posting.
What else? We have a Patreon. We post ad-free shows there pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do private content that James Houghton doesn't want to share
or
broadly.
Or we talk to Dalton about things.
Yeah.
That is still... That's
the catalog of Patreons is not bad.
Well, we'll do more.
Fucking
we
Dalton.
Also don't talk about it too much. We should talk about it more.
Sure. So yeah. Thank you for supporting the show and keeping listening. We've been at this a really long time.
Yeah.
And
a long time.
I don't
so
know
is Adam and Adam and Robbie have done for a long time too.
Yeah, I think we're like a year shorter than you.
Yeah, you're at like 300 some episodes, right?
Yeah, so I don't know where we're at.
Those two dudes,
we're in the
300s
for sure.
They're my favorite automotive podcasters. So
we crossed over 550
so
a few weeks ago.
What you guys used to do the two a week thing. You
they're
really
so hard.
Really got the numbers times. Up in there.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple years where we got a lot of downloads because we were posting a lot, and we were also making promos about it, doing all the things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Every time we put the microphones in front of our face, I like talking.
Yeah, it's really hard because
we have other lives.
We have multiple things going on, and trying to be a good parent, which means I don't record until until we get Sloan to bed, which means that the only way that we can record is if we give up sleep.
Right.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah, and at least you're working from home now a little bit more, so mm-hmm. You could stay. You don't have to leave and go to the office so early. But
yep.
Yeah, it's still like it'll be 11:30 at night when we're done recording for Abe.
Robbie and I record in person.
Yeah,
and I live an hour away from Robbie.
That doesn't make any sense.
He's 15 minutes from my place of employment, so I get off of work and I go to his house.
Yeah. And then you record a 4-hour show like you do.
Yeah, we're usually in the 2-hour range. Yeah,
God damn it,
they're freaking long, dude.
And well, so
you've been pulling the slip angle a little bit more lately with the 1 hour.
I just haven't had time, dude. Yeah.
There's a long standing group chat where I'm in a chat with them and E-Man and Josh Fettis, and they make fun of slip angle a lot in that chat.
We make fun of ourselves just as much, to be fair. Yeah.
Short shows always making fun of us. But anyway, we're back. We're at Coda. We're going to go eat some food. So.
And we'll probably talk about it on a podcast later.
Probably.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cool buddies.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pit of Gridlife to say hello.